Glory to God.
Well, anyway, did you enjoy it a while ago? I do. I love preaching. I had a friend of mine. He's known to being long-winded, at least 2 or 3 hours. And I was talking to him. I said, "What's the longest you ever preached?" He said, 11 hours. I said, "Good God, anybody get saved?" He said, "No, but they all got healed because they needed help." I want to go over this again a little bit, and then we're going to go into something new. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 1 real quick. Philippians chapter 1. If you were in the first session, and I hope you were, you know I'm very serious about partnership. Very, very serious, and I want to finish this thing out. First, I want to make an announcement. I first thought this was Kathy's conference, but this turns out to be the Andrew Warbank Ministries Conference. They're going to be the CARES Bible College Woman's Arise, Arise and Shine. Keynote speaker is Kathy DePlanter. Stand up, Kathy. Let everybody see you. Also, Carrie Pickett. Barbara Perdue. Tessa Swearingen. And that's going to be November the 4th and the 5th. And I'm assuming it's right here. If you can come. And we have a glorious women's conference. And let me, I don't know, are men allowed to come too, Jamie? No? Well, they sneak in at Kathy's conference. And I mean, they just sneak in because I mean, these women can preach the gospel, but they're just really just good. So if you can come November the 4th and the 5th, Kathy's going to be here ministering the word as well as those other speakers, and you're going to be blessed. I love the name of this, Sowers Conference. They had it on here just a minute. It didn't say Givers Conference. See, most givers give and don't expect anything in return. When you are a sower, you're now understanding the scripture that when you sow, you reap. Because you have to come full circle. You know, and I love being a sower instead of just a giver. I am a giver. And in fact, I'm a giving addict, and the Lord, you know, supports my habit. Does me very well. But the reason for it is because I'm a sower. And before I get in, let me say the first thing I did as a Christian was become a tither. Didn't know I was doing it. I got born again on Labor Day weekend, 1974. I was in Boston, Massachusetts, and I didn't know anything about, I was raised Catholic, I didn't know much about any of this, you know. And to make a long story short, that was on a Saturday night about 8:45, and I had to go do a show. Of course, I looked totally different. I had long, long brown hair, I mean, past my shoulders and everything, all embroidered stuff, you know, the makeup stuff, the typical rocker, because I'd worked on the same circuit as Led Zeppelin, Grand Funk, Kiss, Alice Cooper, all those kind of girls screaming and young people, that's your mama doing that, and your daddy, and you know, grandmas and all that kind of stuff. And when I got born again, I never forget this, and you may have heard me say this here before. I want to start with this. I told Kathy that was a Saturday night, and Sunday morning I said, let's go to church. And she thought, oh God, you went to church. I can't believe you're going to church. And we didn't know where to go, so we saw a church bus and just followed it. That's what we did. That's exactly what we did in Boston. I didn't go to church and do any of that. So we followed this bus, and it was a small bus, and it was a very small church. And anyway, to make a long story short, we sat in the back, and because, I mean, I had a tie-dye T-shirt on, big old Levi jacket, you know, with big pockets of Levi, you know, and then it was a flared jeans with embroidery. And all that kind of, and hair down here, and you know, and I've always had a lot of hair. It's white now. I'm starting to get a receding hairline. I kind of like it, because you know, you shouldn't have hair down to your eyebrows. At my age, you look like a gorilla. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that kind of stuff. Anyway, I was there, and the man said something. He said, "If you'd like to sow toward our Sunday school things," and I hadn't heard the word "sow" in my life. So, he said, you know, if we're doing this and that, and if you'd like to give to it and sow to it. And that really caught my attention, you know. So at the close of the service, right when he said he didn't dismiss the service, he had someone that dismissed it, and he walked down the aisle. It wasn't a very big church. I don't think there's 100 people in that church. Do you think, Kathy, there was 100 people? I don't think there was 100 people in that church. It was kind of a shotgun kind of looking church or something like that. Well, I know it's because he wanted to shake people's hands, you know, as they walked out the church. Well, I waited, you know, and I walked up to him, and I said, I looked at him, and I said, you said some things that gets my attention. First, Sunday school, is that like catechism? You got to understand, when you're Catholic, you never hear Sunday school and being saved, or you do now, but not then. Never heard of being born again, and none of that, you know what I'm saying? Once you got christened, you were in. The fix is in, you know? Even if you go to hell, just give some money to church to get you out in the purgatory. Hey, that's how they think. Hey, you laugh, that's how they think. And the fix is in to get you out, you know, you just handle it, you know? And he looked at me, and he's thinking, who is this kid? I was 24 years old, and I said, well, let me help you. I'll help you, and I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out this ball of cash about this big. Remember those big Levi jackets had them big old pockets in it? And they had $100 bill all over it. And the preacher just looked like it, like, good. Like he didn't know what to say. And I looked at him, and I said, you don't buy drugs with a check. Buy drugs with cash. Now, you got to understand, the night before, I mean, less than 24 hours, I'm saying, you know, you buying stuff. And watch this. I had just made $80,000 for how many weeks? Was it 9 weeks of work, just extra on the side back then in those days? And I said, how much do you need? He said, we need about $8,000. That's when I pulled that bottle, and I gave him $8,000, Andrew, and $100 bill. He's freaking out. Now, this is the first act as a Christian, because I've just been saved less than 24 hours. What's the tithe on $80,000? How much? $8,000. I was a tither in less than 24 hours. Didn't know it. They had no concept of it, but it didn't make no difference to me. See, God was setting me up. Actually, I became a partner with that church. Now, I don't know if that church didn't exist. I've went back several times and never could find it because we followed the bus. Still don't know where it is. And what happened was I became a sower in less than 24 hours. God was already blessing me, bringing it back to me beyond my wildest dreams and never thinking. See, I didn't just give it to him. I like what he said, sow it, you know. And that really ministered to me. So in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And the reason why I said that, because this is the only church that ever communicated with you. Always in every prayer of mine. Notice that, always in every prayer. You see, once you have a ministry and people partner with you, you have to, anytime you pray for your partners. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your partnership, the word fellowship there in Old King James means partnership, in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, watch this, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there's no such thing as quitting in this, until the day of Jesus Christ, till Jesus comes. Even as it is able, the word meet there means able, for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my hearts, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace, God's unmerited favor. And I read that kind of fast. Now, I want to go over these points that I gave you the first session. Some of you, I may have went too fast. You can write them down. Number one, partnership means identification. You identify. What does that mean? Your aims, your hopes, and your efforts are one. Partnership means identification. Your aims, your hopes, and your efforts are one. I tell you, you do not walk with measured steps. You don't loiter or linger. You see, every time, let me add this to it. See, when God gives you a vision, in his mind, it's complete. That's why it should never be something stopped. And the reason why some things are stopped is not God's fault. It's because people begin to disobey. Because God's already spoken to people to do things. So, see, you don't walk with measured steps. You don't loiter or linger. The very idea of partnership is an inward rate relationship, meaning you may have never met Jamie or Andrew personally, but because you partnered with their ministry, you have an inward relationship. Christ in you, Andrew and Jamie in you. Do you see that? It comes together. It's linked because you touch something here. I told you partnership changes you and everything around you because you think like what you partnered with. Then I told you true Christian partnership absorbs the whole person. And that includes their thoughts, their desires, their association, and progression. I could preach 4 hours right there, but I just went over that quickly. Your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Like I have the thoughts of God, the mind of Christ. Desire. Delight yourself, therefore, in the Lord. Give you the desire of your heart. You will desire building something as much as Andrew and Jamie would because you're in partnership. Do you see that? Watch it. Desire and an association. You associate. You are a philanthropist. You're part of this here. And then in progression, as this ministry progresses, you progress. Because God don't believe in backing up on nothing. He's always go forward. I mean, if you really want to define Christianity in one word, advance. You could put all of Christianity in that one word, advance. Then I told you this, you're given a large mind to understand this destiny and destination, a strong conviction to do it, and a firm will that no one will talk you ever out of it. Giving in partnership is a sacred thing, I told you, because God accepts the gift as given to himself. Because it's not actually money, it's an act of worship. You're worshiping God and what he wants done on this planet. I told you, no person can do a work single-handed. It can't be. Even Jesus, it's God's plan to work with and through others. So God will move upon people to be partners with you. And they didn't even have the foggiest idea. And sometimes I have some partners that don't like me. I have some sinners that don't like me that give to my ministry. That's shocking, isn't it? I have some sinners that make money and aggravate it because they got to give it to me. You don't believe that, do you? Would you like a scripture for that? Would anybody like a scripture for that? Because I believe that's happening. That's going to happen to you, Andrew, if it hadn't happened before. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament for you people that don't read the Bible. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you something here. Watch this. I'm talking about sinner people now. Watch this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. That's me. That's you that are born again. Wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he giveth travail. Good God. To gather and to heap up. Glory to God. I love it when I think of Wall Street. They're making that for me. To gather and to heap up. That he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. In other words, they get so mad they don't know why they're doing it. They can't help themselves. Because it's for me. It's for you. Now, you can read that in a different translation. He's got even a better translation. It's even better. I had a guy one time got so mad at me. This before I had my own plane. I flew into LaGuardia Airport. And man, I had just got my cab. Sometimes it's hard to get a cab, you know. And he said, mister, please, can I have your cab? I said, sure. He said, I got to get to Wall Street. Can I? I said, yeah, take it, man. Go ahead. And it was two guys behind me. He said, you know, you've been waiting 30 minutes here to get a cab. Why'd you give him that? I said, he works for me. He said, what? I said, he works for me. What does he do for you? I said, he works for Wall Street. Everything he makes, he's going to have to give it to me. What's his name? I said, I don't have the foggiest idea. I don't know. I had Ecclesiastes 2 on my mind. I've had banks send me money. Banks don't give you no money. They lend you money. We don't know why we do this. I do. Vexed. My God. You know, you ought to read the Bible. It's a good book. So now let's start with something new here. Let's finish this thing out. Write this down. Partnership will produce a message. It will produce a mission. And it will produce a separation. Partnership will produce a message. Not my will, but thine be done. A mission. We got to build this place and finish it. A separation. Separated. And when I mean separation, all you can think is who you partnered with. God and the ministry God put in you. A separation in you and for you, which means whatever on Andrew and Jamie or on this place comes upon you. Because the it separates you for the blessing of God, spiritually, physically, financially, in every area. In other words, whatever God gives Andrew, you get it too. In every area. Let me say it again. Partnership will produce a message. It will produce a mission. And it will produce a separation in you and for you. I bet so many people say, your partners, Brother Jesse, think like you. Why? Because they've been separated unto me. See, Andrew, your partners have been separated unto you. And they have the message you have. They have the mission you have. I love that, my God. And when you see that, they have the separation. That's why they talk about it all the time. I didn't want to say this, but the Lord told me to say it. I've had some people tell me something about Andrew Womack. They don't know Andrew. They said, you see him on television. How do you ever get that big ministry when he talks like this? I'll tell y'all one thing. If y'all give him day, he says it's kind of cool and collected. I said, will you want to be going like this? And the Lord said, if you walk with me, hey! No. That's why you're struggling. You've been screaming too much. You ought to start talking like Andrew. And the Lord said. So I took up for you, Andrew. People are jealous and envious. Partnership will produce a message. What is the message? What is this place for? Why are you coming to this school? Because you're going to leave with the message. What is its mission? What is this all for? What are you going to do with it when you get it? You're going to take it to the four corners of the world. And a separation that even if you are thousands and thousands of miles away, faith destroys all distance between you and Andrew Womack's ministry. Do you see what I'm saying? That's a very powerful statement when you understand that. When you understand, that's why Paul said, my God, y'all do so much for me. There's another scripture Paul writes, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all. Then he says, especially to the household of faith. Why? Because faith people are special. Not that God loves you anymore. See, you love your children the same because you love them. But usually one's nicer. Let's just be honest. You just thought of that. No, you would die for any of your children. But there's some of them are just a little different. They're more special. Not that you love them anymore. They just may obey more. You don't have to scream at them as much. Yet you die for the one that you got to chase down the street. That's not the issue. It has nothing to do with love. It has to do with speciality. I had a man tell me that, so I can say it in the Holy Ghost. Lord, he just came. In 40 years of preaching, 38 years of ministry, God is my witness. I stand behind his holy pulpit. God has never told me no. Now, you don't have to believe it. He has never told me no, not one time. But before I go to him and I want something, I said, Lord, I don't say if it be thy will. I said, this is what I'd like to have, but you know the end result of that. See, because everything God does is finished, then you begin. Everything's finished. See, that's why God never gets out of shape. He never worries about something that you're going to ask him for because it's already ended. He already knows. So now you begin. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was all finished. Now, begin. And then you complete the mission, you complete the message, and you complete the separation. See, I'm so separated from the kingdom of darkness that I have nothing to do with the world. I've lost all desire for the world. It's a joke to me when Satan tries to tempt me. I said, you're going to hell, fool. You think I'm going to make the same mistake you doing? You lost your ever-loving mind. How can you say that? Separation. A man asked me not long ago, Andrew, it's kind of funny. I think he had a lot of women on his mind. Probably got a little lust problem. He says, I noticed a lot of women follow you. I said, does that bother you? Well, no, I don't bother me. I said, well, why'd you notice it? Well, I just noticed a lot of women. I said, you like women? He said, he's kind of him-hawing around. He said, then he says this. You know, you travel all over the world. He got women all over his mind. He said, how many women you think are in the world? I said, I know exactly how many women are in the world. He said, you do? I said, yes, sir. He said, how many? I said, one, and her name is Kathy DePlantis. That's it. That's it for me. He went, I had another preacher one time grab me. He said, Brother, I need you to pray for me. I got lust in my life. Lust, lust, lust. What should I do? I said, tell your wife. She'll stop it. Yeah. Men are so ignorant. Yeah, she'll stop it. She'll fix that. She can handle all that kind of stuff. It's part of the partnership. Which means you shouldn't do things to your spouse to cause separation from her or him or God or the ministry you're partnering with. Let me say it again. Partnership will produce a message, a mission, and a separation in you and for you. You know why that's so strong? Write this down. We set the example of how to work in the kingdom of God. We set the example of how to work in the kingdom of God. I've told senators in the Senate, if you would do what, get on the God system instead of the Babylonian system, we wouldn't have an almost $20 trillion debt. I said, and your own dollar bill tells you that. One side says Federal Reserve note, and that's almost $20 trillion debt. On the other side says, in God we trust. What part you want to look at? Because on the other side, it doesn't have any debt at all. Because you're trusting God. Do you see my point? You understand what I'm saying? That's why a lot of these things are being built debt-free. They say, how can you do that? Read the dollar, trusting God. That he more than provides. So I like to set the example. My own tax attorney said, now, Jesse, you've given too much. I say, what? He said, you've given too much. This now can no longer help you on your tax return. I said, it helps you. He said, how does it help you? Me. I said, it keeps you, gives you a job. Don't ever tell me that. Don't you ever tell me to limit what I give. I could care less about my deduction. Now, I'm not stupid. I'll take it as long as they give it to me. But I'm telling you, don't ever try to limit me when I serve a God that's unlimited. He said, I think I said the wrong thing. I said, I think you did too. Never say that. I said, those things were not given. These were acts of worship. I set the example. He said, so you know, if the government took away the tax deduction, would it stop your giving? No, it'd probably increase it. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I set the example. I let my light so shine, not only to the gospel world, but to the religious world and to the sinful world. Without sounding cocky or arrogant, I'm known as one of the greatest tippers in New Orleans, Louisiana. In fact, I went to eat with George Pearson. You know George Pearson? He pastors Eagle Mountain International Church. I went to preach at Eagle Mountain International Church. If you don't think, I got to watch what I say because I get it. Because I'm in partnership with God. See? Oh, I'm going to shock you with this. He ain't doing nothing unless he tell me. I lost you right there. I could see. Well, he didn't do nothing with Abraham. Oh, you think you're better than Abraham? No, I didn't say that. You did. You thought it. No, but I've learned something. If Abraham can be his friend, so can I. So I said, Lord, can I be your friend? He said, Jesse, I need a friend. So anyway, I was going to the Southwest Believers Convention in August of this year. And we went through what they call it, the Fort Worth Stockyards, I think that's what it's called. They got some restaurants. And I saw this sign, blinking lights like this. It said Cattleman's. And I said, it's one of them old kind of lights that you see back in the 50s, you know, a lot of lights and stuff like that. I said, what is that, George? He said, oh, that's a, I mean, I asked the guy to pick me up. This is in August. He said, that's a steakhouse. I said, it is, yeah. I said, I bet they got good steaks in there, huh? He said, yes, they do. That was a, what's that boy's name there? Anyway, Barry's son, Barry, picked me up and brought me to the Believers' Convention. Well, evidently, the Lord heard me say that because 2 months later, or a month and a half later, I went and preached at Eagle Mountain International Church. I never do men's meetings because most of them don't have no food. Now, woman's meeting, you're going to get fed something. Men's meeting, you bet you bring you a sandwich. anyway, to make a long story, I don't do many men's meetings, you know. But George said, would you do this men's meeting? And then you can, this is on Saturday. That's something else I don't do. He said, can you preach for me Sunday? I said, okay. And I thought, he said, do you have it off? I said, well, yeah, but I thought I would rest a little bit, George. Okay, I'll do it. And so anyway, he said, I'm going to take you to lunch. This is on Saturday. And I think Kathy had went with Terry somewhere to do something. I don't know, whatever. So we drive in. And we're going by that Fort Worth Stockyards. And he stops at that blinker sign. I said, hey. He said, this is Cattleman Steakhouse. I told him a story. I said, you know, I said that before. I said, you bringing me here to eat lunch? And the Lord, he said, I heard you say it. I heard you say it in August, and I thought you might enjoy it. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, you're welcome. Have a good time. I said, okay. That's how I talk to God. You do what you want, that's how I do it. We're going in. It was a nice steak, and it was really nice, all that kind of stuff. Well, I didn't actually eat a steak. I had to have a chicken fried steak. I like cholesterol. With that white crap, all that kind of stuff. So I said, George, let me buy this man. No, no, you can't do that. No, I'm buying it. So he had his, I guess one of his associates, something like that. He's writing. Now, I didn't even know George heard about this stuff. He's writing, and so he looked at me and said, what kind of tip you want me to give this waiter? And George said, give him a Jesse tip. I said, a Jesse tip? I heard about your tips. I said, you did? Who told you that? Waiters. You come there. I like to be a blessing. So I think about the waiter and the waitress before I get the food. Everybody got to make a living. Now, people say, I was just showing up. I could show off more with that money in my pocket than in theirs. So now I don't wait for no restaurants at all in New Orleans. I've seen them an hour wait. I walk up, they go, Reverend, we're walking, we're walking, we're walking, and I get them stations. Not bragging on that. Why? I want to be a blessing. I'm known as a sower to the sin world. Because see, that's what they're going to notice more than anything else. See, I've been separated to that. So that the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me. So if I have that opportunity, I want to be a blessing. Everywhere I go, everything I do, anywhere, everything. Why? Because when you see me, you see Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, that's what Jesus would do. He was that kind of person. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? He sold himself. My God, not only was he a giver and a sower, but he sold his own life. He sold God, sold Christ, so we could have Christians. Harvest return. Now go with me to Luke chapter 5. I want to show you something. We're dealing with partnership. Luke chapter 5. Now I want to show you something here you may have seen, but we're going to read this. I've learned something about being separated with a message and a mission. And that separation, Jesus wanted to be a blessing everywhere he went. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, or he had finished, verse 4, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. Simon answering and said unto him, Master, so he still respected Jesus, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Or in other words, let me paraphrase it, I know how to fish. I'm a professional fisherman. You're a professional preacher. There ain't a fish in this lake. We wore out. We're tired. We want to go home. That no more affect Jesus. He's just looking at it. So you're not going to change God's mind. He's trying to get something to Peter instead of get something from Peter. See, he's just looking at it. Now watch this. This is why I say where Peter became word of faith. Nevertheless, at thy word, you know he didn't say his word. He wasn't even interested in doing this. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Why? More than enough. Now, verse 7 is a very unique verse. And they beckoned, talking about Peter, unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. Stop right there for a minute. The only person Jesus said to let down the net was Peter. He ain't said nobody else. So that quote, quote, word of knowledge was only for Peter, right? Right. But Peter had been separated to work for Jesus. Peter would pick up Jesus' message, Jesus' mission. He was in proximity to Jesus. So what was on Jesus was on Peter when Jesus spoke it. That's why Jesus would not let Peter miss it. He just kept looking at him until he obeyed. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Watch this. So we know the story. He lets down the net, right? All right, the boat's full. The net's breaking. The boat's sinking. Jesus hadn't said one word to them partners of Peter's. God spoke to Andrew and Jamie Womack. Let me show you how you get in this. Jesus never turned around to the partners and tried to bless them. He's got one man on his mind, and that man's message, mission, et cetera, is under Jesus. Let on your net for a catch. The partners have done washed the nets, sitting on the beach waiting for Peter to come so he can go home and get some sleep. Peter hollers at him, hey, y'all come help me. Now watch this, partner. This is what partners do not understand. It's called increase by association. This is what most people miss. And when they miss it, they speak against it because you can't have what you speak against. You speak against prosperity, you're going to be the brokest person in Colorado you ever seen in your life. You're speaking against something you need. Jesus didn't say one word to them partners. He directed that word of knowledge, that word of prophecy to Peter. The partners gets up, gets in their boats. They're coming over there. Now, what's on their, can I come down here if you don't mind? What's on their mind? What's on the partner's mind of Peter is to help him with the boatload of fish. Amen. Right? To help him so he don't lose any fish. But when they get close to Peter, fish jumping in their boat. They get the exact same thing that Peter got, and Jesus never said one word to those boys. Because God has spoken to this couple, to Bill Andrew Womack Ministry, you're going to get the exact same thing they get. That's a revelation. They weren't looking for that. They were doing what most partners do. Well, let me come help you. Yo mama. This ain't just about helping one person. It's God transferring the anointing of increase over from these to them. Everything God says on them comes upon good. Somebody shout. Listen to what I'm saying.
Hallelujah.
Do you see that? They didn't have in their mind that they were going to get anything. They will come and help with Peter's blessing. And the closest, see the fish, they know Jesus know where they are. And the fish say, let's follow him. Because he knows. Now, watch this. They forsook all. You think that God let all that fish rot? You're talking Jews here. These are Jewish people. You don't have any Jewish friends. Get some Jewish friends. Because the anointing of increase is on them, buddy. That's not an anti-Semitic statement. Jesus, his staff had families that needed to be taken care of. He had 82 people that worked for him, 12 chosen, 70 part-time. That's 82 people that work for the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association, call it what you want. See, what was on him, when he spoke that word, brother, came and just went, boom, over Peter. Fish said, we got to obey the master. Boom, they're jumping out the net into the boat. And the net's breaking. And the boat gets, how can a boat get full when the net's breaking? Because the fish are, are jumping out of the net. And the ones that are not in the net, we can't get in there, but we're getting in that boat, and they're jumping in the boat. But when the other people come on, all of a sudden, it's like a tsunami boat, fish jumping out of the partners. They got the same blessing. And it wasn't just enough.
Hallelujah.
It was net-breaking, boat sinking. God, help me, Jesus. Do you understand it? That's why you believe for 50 million, I'm believing for 59 and more. You see, people don't realize this. Increase by association. That's why God don't want you to ever quit. Because where they go, you go. And then in the midst of you following them, God will give a word to you. And if somebody follow you, they get the same thing you got. The partner in my ministry go around telling people, you ought to be part. I don't tell them to do that. You ought to be partnered with Jesse. I'm not saying that. This is Andrew Womack's ministry. Why? It's on me. Now watch this. Why did God ask Andrew to ask me to preach here? Because you looking at one man's son that everything I touch prospers. God spoke that. How close am I to you, brother?
About 2 feet.
It's getting on you. It's getting on you. That anointing is flowing from them. That anointing is on me. It's coming to you. Let me tell you something. You don't believe in a 30, 60, and 100-fold, you can get it whether you like it or not. Do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm saying? But most people think, well, they're just saying that to get some money. No! It's Jesus saying, I'm going to surprise all of them. I spoke one word to one man, and now his partners get the same thing. Why? Why did that happen? He's no respecter person. So why am I blessed and you not? Pretty good question. God don't love me anymore, he loves you. What are you willing to do to be blessed? Which means empowered to prosper. What they call them thing? Recessions don't bother me. In the 2008 recession, my ministry grew by 20%. Why? Because I'm better than you are? No. I just didn't believe for the downturn. How many people say, well, I didn't want to bless God. I go, I mean, I hear it. I don't deny it. I don't deny what they said. I deny its right to affect me, which makes people mad as a hornet. Hey, do you think you are? Come here, a blessed man. What part of that you don't understand? What part of that you didn't get? There are people coming to our ministry, coming to our church. They're getting debt free so fast because I believe in that. Woo. Nothing wrong with borrowing. I'm not against borrowing money. Don't misunderstand. I'm not at all. But my God, man, when God told me to build my ministry, he said, how would you like to handle me to handle this? He said, I can pay this every month. I can knock this puppy out. So I thought I'd put God over a barrel. Lawson, I said, I'm going to put him. I said, well, Lord, since we're talking about it, why don't you just knock this puppy out? He said, done. Yeah. Then, watch this. We were just starting to build. We built for 4 solid years. He said, then we will never discuss this ever again. And how many times, 2.5, 3 years into that thing, boy, I wanted to look at that building fund, but I would not look at it. Because he's, what good would it do to look at it? Because there was nothing in there. I couldn't say nothing. We never did discuss it. But I said something very stupid, and Kathy's never let me forget it. I said, Lord, I would like to finish this complete campus with the same amount of money I started out with. He said, done. According to your faith, so be it. Ladies and gentlemen, talk about miss God 500 miles. And Kathy going. We walked into the last thing debt free. This is all debt free on all those years. I had exactly the same amount of money I started with. And Kathy said, what's the matter with you? You could have asked for $100 million and he'd have done it. I said, shut up, Kathy. She said, you stupid. God does. He asked you. And that's really the truth. He'll do whatever you can believe, but he can't do anything you can't believe. What we ties his hands is our unbelief. Do you see what I'm saying? And let me tell you something about faith. We love the manifestation. He loves the chase. See, the only way you please him is you walk in by faith. The only way you please him is by faith. So no, he gets excited when you get the manifestation because, you know, and you do, but he likes it. When you hadn't even got the manifestation, he said, look at my boy. Good, good. Is he believe? Look at that boy believe. That my boy. Look at him believe that. That pleases me because he's got me in him. Do you see that? He believe that pleases him more than when you get your manifestation. Let's go back to those partners. I wish the Lord would have recorded what they said. We were coming to help you, Peter. We weren't expecting nothing. And now we got the same thing. Increase by association. See, if two of you agree on earth as touching, they touched Peter's blessing. Bam! And when they touched the blessing, they touched the word that Jesus said. Think about that. And I really believe if other people would have followed Jesus when he walked off that beach, he'd have blessed them too. Because you see, then you realize really what walking by faith and sowing is. Because what you've been wanting all your life, you forsake it because you realize just how valuable it is to walk by faith and not by sight. But God says, they're not going to lose this. God don't lose. He don't pay for the same real estate twice. I caught that one time. I said, you know, you don't lose, do you? He said, no. I said, well, if I'm in you and you're in me, then I shouldn't be losing. That's right. He said, say that to people. I said, they ain't going to like that, God. They're going to think I'm arrogant and proud, but it's not what they think. Just is what I think. And I'll do the same thing to God that he does me. He always tell me, what did I say, Jesse? Quote me what you say. I said, what you think about me, Lord? Go ahead and say it. He says, boy, I just love you, and I'm going to bless you. I said, say it again. Just again. He said, why you want me to say it again? I said, because in Matthew 18, 19, you said, again, I say unto you. I get these things. You understand what I'm saying? I said, if you can say it again to something else, you can say it again to me. See, Kathy don't wants me to say I love her more than once. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Because the more you hear it, the bigger it gets in your life. Are y'all enjoying this? Now go with me to Mark chapter 4. I got 13 seconds, minutes here. Mark chapter 4. Let's go to the chapter that Kenneth Hagin wrote. That's what most people think. He preached 60-something years out of Mark chapter 4. Now, this is not in my notes. I'm taking this away right now. I'm going to preach this out of my spirit as the Lord gives it to me. He told me to go to Mark chapter 4, and while I was talking to you, I said inside, what for? He said, you'll know when you get there. I said, okay. Mark chapter 4. Since this is that's a picture of me. Oh, look, in my head. Glory to God. Where the sower thing. Y'all got the sower? Okay, Mark chapter 4. Ah, glory to God. Verse 1, he began again. He did it again. God, I love this. I'm going to buy this tape myself. He began again to teach by the seaside. He liked water. Jesus did like water. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, listen. Behold, they went out a sower to sow, not a giver, a sower. Hallelujah. Now, verse 4, it came to pass. That's all I need to read about verse 4. Because the end result is, you got to know if the end result works. Now, we know what happens in the different soils here. Now, watch verse 8. And others fell on good ground. Is it possible they didn't sow it, that it fell out of their pocket? That God was wanting to do something
beyond their faith, beyond what they could imagine. So if I could just let something slip out, let it fall, and fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, which means, my God, you ain't got to dig it. It'll hit you in the face. You ever went to a water fountain, you hit it, boom, and you just got christened? Man, they had a stream come out of there that long. Sprang up and increased. So while it sprang up, it's increasing. And brought forth some 30. Why? Some 60. Why? And some 100. Why? God wanted to bless you with 100-fold. And you go, oh, Lord, that's just too much. Would you take 60? Oh, Jesus, that 30? He's trying to get something to you. Not from you, to you. Good ground. That is very important. I don't care how much corn you sow in Antarctica, it's not going to grow. So why are you giving the chosen frozen churches? What a waste. Why are you giving the churches that don't preach or believe anything? And wondering why you're struggling. There was a professor that went to the Antarctica. It hadn't rained in this particular place for 3 million years. I saw it on the Nat Geo, whatever the name of that little channel is. 3 million years, they know. He took a seed that was in the ground for 3 million years. He found it. He built a little wall around it and took a candle and stuck it in there, and he watered the ground. Now, listen, nothing in 3 million years. He changed the environment of the seed, and it grew a green. He kept it during the season, and he kept it warm, and he kept it fertilized, if you could say, in terms of water. Because, see, the seed never loses its power. But it has to have the right environment to flow. That's called the good ground. You understand? Now, that analogy is verse 26. And he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. That's not your business to know how it's going to spring up and increase. It's your business to sow it. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn of the ear. Now, you've heard this here. That's the seed. That's the seed time, progression time, and harvest time. In those three words, seed time, progression time, harvest time. Your seed don't need your help to grow. It only needs your help to harvest. Somebody write that down. Because sometimes you can disturb your seed and you shut down what you're supposed to get. You had 100-fold coming to it, you disturbed it, and it popped down to 60 or 30. Or watch this stupid thing. I got it back. That's the worst thing you can ever tell me. I'm a good businessman. When somebody tell me this, but just you need to invest in this. What about you, man? Let's talk about it. Well, I'll tell you one thing, you'll get it back. What? That's it. Get it back. Why don't I just keep it back so I never have to worry about getting it back? That's a dumb thing to tell an investor. You get your money back. Well, if he keeps it, he's got it back. He don't need to worry about you giving it back. Tell him what you're going to make. Tell him what you're going to produce. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. And that seed, your job is to sow it. And to live your life clean, that is that environment. And the person you sold it to needs to live that life clean because you touched it together. So there's responsibility on both sides. And then leave it alone and watch it come. Then when the harvest comes, don't sit on your porch saying, I got a field full, but I'm just kind of tired. No, you get out there and harvest, because there's way more work at harvest time than there is at sowing time. Do you see that? Now, he said, another fellow on good ground. Now, this is where I told that preacher, well, you know, he was the sower soweth the word. Well, what's up in the word is a seed time, progression time, and harvest time. With, you know, he sowed healing, you get health. I had a man call me the other day, a good friend of mine, Andrew, that I had preached for many years. really has had some terrible health problems. He's younger than I am, but I mean terrible health problems. He said, "Hey, Jesse, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, Sid, I hadn't talked to you in a while. What's going on?" He said, "Jesse, can I ask you a question? Do you still preach on divine health?" I said, "Yes. Even though you've been attacked sometimes?" "Yes." I said, "I still preach on divine healing, divine health, and divine life." I said, "You know what? You need me to water you right now because you're so dry, you don't know what to do it yourself. So let me throw you some faith water." See, faith water is better than regular water because it's got taste in it. You know, some of that flavored water. By the time I got him off that phone, he said, "My God, I'm going back to preaching divine healing. I'm going back to preaching divine health. I'm going back to preaching divine life." God didn't change. So why would you change? Persecution. Going by what you see. Going by what you feel. I don't deny what I feel. I deny it's right. I don't fight the devil. I walk on him. I'd have to pick my foot up and go, "What?" Keep my foot on his head. I preached a sermon 35 years ago. Keep your foot on the devil's neck. Boy, I mean, was it Joshua? He said, "Make them five kings." And he stuck his foot on their neck. Lord Jesus, which showed authority over that. So Mark 4 and Luke 5 are coming together to such a degree. And that's all has to do with partnership. That all has to do with sowing, but reaping in every area. I'll close with this, and if it's okay, can I receive this offering? Okay. I close. Me and Kathy always give more every year than we did the previous year. We're pretty good people. We keep good records. Learn that from the IRS. Because you fly on a corporate jet, you've had three of them. They don't believe a thing you say. They're going to come look. And the Senate Finance Committee and all them other kind of crazy people. No, they're nice. It's all right. Because they can't find nothing. They ain't nothing wrong. Whew, man. It's just, the Lord's touching me inside. I know he's going to do something big here. And the bigness is not the amount. The bigness is the obedience. Now, you take obedience and a big amount. Oh, the devil will start sweating. Jesus. We thought we could shut them down. We thought we could make them stop the project. They just won't quit. Just won't quit. Just won't quit. You notice I'm hesitating because the Lord's telling me to do something. He says, go to this offering right now because their faith is never any higher than it is right now. I wanted to tell you something else, but he said, stop. He said, you can hold that. This is an act of worship. Oh, the angels of God in here. They're talking to each other. Can you hear them? My Lord. They say, look what they're going to do. They're talking to each other. They're in here. Or two or three gather together in my name. There I am in the midst. Jesus is watching. You don't think God gave big and God gave obedient? He gave his only begotten son. That's why he couldn't look at him on the cross. Because if he'd have looked at Jesus, he'd have took him back. But my sin was on him. Your sin was on him. He had to turn. Because a father won't allow his child to be crucified. So he cracked the rocks and the earth. He said, I can slap that real quick. And Jesus says again, the bulls of Bashan are around me. That's Psalms 22. Go read it. Will you leave my soul in hell? Price was paid. The seed was sown. Now, let's get ready for the church. Let's get ready for Andrew Womack Ministries. Let's get ready for Justice Plans Ministries, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, R.W. Shambach's Ministries, Old Roberts Ministries. This is what's coming out of this, man. See, because God's already finished. And Satan couldn't stop it. Andrew, you and me, we have the ability to touch 7 billion people. God's given us the technology. Those other ministers hadn't lived the way in the technology we got today.
This offering's going to complete that. People have a place to go. It says bring the tithe. That means you ought to be a churchgoer. You want another scripture? As his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Notice Jesus went to church. Why aren't you going to church? You see, you got to read. Look for things in the Bible that are not obvious. Here's one. And he closed the book and gave it to a minister and sat down. That's Luke 4. Why did he give a closed book to a minister? He said, don't preach your opinion. Preach this. Because this is life. We're going to give today, and we're going to sow today. But I want you to see what's in the seed. Instead of the seed, can you see the tree? What is an acorn? Or what is an oak tree? Or an acorn that held, what is an oak tree but an acorn that held its ground? That said, I will not let a squirrel eat me. Get out of here. I'm going to be a tree, and then the squirrels can build a house in my tree. Right across the street from me, they say that tree, Kathy, is 400 years old, and that it seeded every oak tree that's in our area. I love that. It's seeded in these beautiful oak trees. I live in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's known for green oaks, big oaks. I mean, it's huge. Huge. People come and take pictures for weddings there, and they get my house. I have a plantation home, so this big tree is, it's just, and I have other oak trees up, but that thing is amazing. And I keep thinking, it came from an acorn. And I went to the Biltmore House in Asheville, North Carolina, and read about the man that planted Mount Pisgah for George Vanderbilt and for the Biltmore House. And he gave him a drawing. He said, this is what your trees and your things will look like 100 years from now. Me and you will be dead, but this is exactly what it's going to look like. And he's the man that planted Central Park in New York. And I went and looked at it, and the drawing he drew looks exactly today like that man drew. He could see the end, even though he wouldn't live to see it. Now, are you ready to give? Will y'all pass out these offering envelopes? You already did? Look at your offering. Can you see the end? Kathy, you got my check? We don't ask you to do something we don't do. This is a check for $25,000, is that right? I don't even know what we'll do that. Yeah. That's just some of it. Okay. I don't ask you to do something I don't do. I will never do that. Hold it up. Have you done what God told you to do? Now, in this here, Andrew, is that $59 million?
Amen. Amen.
I think you need more now. Don't you say you had 180. Andrew just go up real fast. He said, change this elevator. It just goes to the fifth floor. We need to go to the 18th floor. That's 180 million. Can you see it? Look at your seed. Don't look at me. Can you see the end result? Can you see all the ministry of Andrew Womack? Can you see the anointing that's on him on you? Can you see your boat getting full? Just like his boat getting full? Can you see when God speaks something to him and her that he says it to you? Can you see that you've been separated in life for this ministry, Andrew Womack Ministries? Can you see all those things? My God, man, I can see it. Heavenly Father, I ask you to take my anointing that you placed upon me, the anointing of the hundredfold and the thousand time. I thank you that I'm going to be able to do way more and more and more than I ever thought possible. Lord, I love to go to dinner with Andrew and Jamie one day saying, and both of us said at the same time, well, we're just going to have to dream something because the 180 million came. We're just going to have to, hey, man, has God told you anything I can do? Has God told you anything that Jesse can do? Has God told you, you know, well, we just have to dream. Lawson, you in that? All that? My God, man. And you know how you know when you're getting there? It's when the sinner come looks at you. Just like they did on Isaac's crop. He received 100-fold in famine. Didn't bother him neither. One wonderful rabbi told me, he said that his crop would be like this. Look at me. Everything was dry, but there was a mist just on his acreage. Water just falling on it. And wherever he moved, the mist moved. Wherever Israel moved, cloud by day moved, pillar by fire moved. You ain't going nowhere without God. So if you got somebody in prison, friend, God ain't getting out of jail today, do. He went to jail for 20 years with Joseph. He said, I ain't going nowhere till you go somewhere. Hold it up. Look at it. Now, I did what you asked me to do. I ask you to bless it 30, 60, 100-fold, and 1,000 times. Let Andrew Womack Ministry never, never, ever have to stop anything at any time, anywhere, that it's all done in sync. And Lord, everyone that's giving today, let the 30, 60, and 100-fold start now. Put angels on assignment, flying out of these windows, flying out of these buildings to go heap up and get what these people rightfully deserve. Lord, I decree and declare it today. I place it in the bucket. That's the sowing part. And I thank you in advance and call those things that be not as though they were. That in the years to come, if you should tarry, that this ministry will be able to give more than this whole place is worth and never run out. Never run out. Never. That's why you tell everybody, borrow not a few. Don't just give me a little bucket. Don't just give me a barrel. Give me barrel. Because everything on this planet belongs to us. You said, Lord, that heavens, even the heavens are yours, but the earth hath you given to the children of men. That's Psalms 115, verse 16. I had to quote it to you. So outside these windows, all these mountains belong to me. Yes. Belong to everybody here. We own this planet. It's ours. So I call it all in that belongs to us. So we can complete the destiny and reach the destination. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.